I'd like to thank Keith Teklitz for editing this episode.
Kids, I'm back. This is Strewn Along the Path. The path that I'm strewning right now is last season's TV shows that I watched. And I think now I'm up to the Netflix shows. So let's see. Let's start with Daredevil. Daredevil season one. Nobody knew what to expect. A Marvel series on Netflix. How that was going to work. And so we have Charlie Cox. I shouldn't even start naming actors because I don't know them all. Charlie Cox is the only one I remember. He plays Daredevil, Matt Murdock. And I think he does an extremely good job of playing Matt Murdock. He does a good job of convincing me that he's blind. And I really like the way that they did the series. I was a little bit concerned. You know, there was a lot of violence in it. So the big bad in season one is, of course, the Kingpin, Wilson Fisk. I can't think of the actor's name that plays him either. But anyway, he's not in the first, I don't know, 3 to 4 episodes. Maybe the first 3 episodes. You hear about him and you see this guy that's kind of his first in command or second in command or whatever. Dealing with all these different crime parts of Hell's Kitchen. So I left off talking about the Kingpin, that he was the big bad from Daredevil, for Daredevil season one. So there came a point where I was considering not watching the rest of Daredevil season one. And that was, I think it was around episode 5 when Kingpin brutally murdered somebody with a car door. Basically bashing their head in with a door, car door. And continually, you know, bashing it in until the head fell off. And they didn't show all of it, but they showed enough and the blood spatter and stuff like that that I was thinking, man, I don't know if I can watch this show if it's going to be like this every week. And, you know, I've made that decision many other times with other TV shows and movies that, you know, everybody loved, everybody's seen. I can't talk about it with them because I haven't seen it. But I've kind of come to terms with that. If there's content in a show or content in a movie that I don't really want to see, if it's pornographic, if it's disrespectful to something I care about, or not often, but sometimes if there's an actor in it that I don't like, I can typically get over that part of it. But just content-wise, typically is why I would not watch a show. And so I'm okay with that. You know, of course, this was a Marvel TV show, the first Netflix series, and I was really digging the show. I really like, you know, Matt Murdock and Karen Page and Foggy Nelson and all these characters and the way that they're being portrayed. And I like the tone of the show and the way they were putting it all together. But if they were going to have scenes like this every week, where somebody's getting their head bashed in between a car door being slammed, with a car door being slammed on it, and that kind of graphic violence, I didn't want to be a part of it. And so I was like, man, what do I do? Do I just, you know, call this one out as one of those shows that I don't watch? And so I thought, well, I'll watch it for a couple more episodes, and if there's another scene that's that gratuitous, then I'll call it quits. That'll be my the straw or whatever And so I continued to watch, and there were some violent scenes after that, but they weren't as violent. They weren't as graphic. They weren't as, I guess, just wanton destruction, wanton violence. Violence for the sake of being violent and showing how violent that Kingpin can be. And luckily, I think that one scene with the car door was the scene that they used to show how brutal and how out of control Kingpin could be. After that, you knew it. And you knew it was within him to do something like that. And, you know, killing wasn't a problem for him and those kinds of things. So I think they proved it with that moment. And after that, they didn't have to prove it again. You know, there was things where with his dad that were violent, you know, when they flashbacked to his growing up and his dad. But they weren't that violent. They, you know, they stopped at a certain point and didn't go any further. So I did watch the rest of the show, and I've watched season two as well. And season two, I guess you could say there were, and I'm jumping ahead here, but there was a scene where the Punisher, Frank Castle, was in a prison and had to fight his way out of a trap. And he killed lots of people, and there was lots of blood in that. But that was really more of a fight scene. And here I'm splitting hairs, right? I mean, I'm kind of being, I don't know what you call it, hypocritical. That's not really the word I want either. But anyway, I guess it just depends for me. Sometimes I can rationalize it. Sometimes I don't consider it rationalizing. It's just, you know, they stopped. But fight violence is different for me than just somebody out for blood, loving the destruction, enjoying the destruction, and the way that if the direction of the show, you can tell the attitude of the director, or, you know, the way they want this to be seen. And if it is just, you know, wanton destruction, violence for the sake of showing you how violent they can be and being as gross as they possibly can, and bloody and gory or whatever, then I don't like that. If there's violence in a scene where people are getting stabbed and choked and killed, it, you know, of course there's I'm sure there's a line there, but anyway, there was a moment there where I thought I wasn't going to watch Daredevil. And I guess I typically avoid R-rated shows, and so it'd be interesting if you took Daredevil and made it into a huge movie, would the level of violence and or whatever else, language, I don't think the language was too bad. I'm trying to remember if they ever even said the F word. They probably did. They definitely did in Jessica Jones. But yeah, I don't know what the criteria is to between an R and a PG-13 movie. So, you know, on Netflix, it's a cable show. It's not a network show. So they can get a lot away with a lot more. So I don't know if it would be considered an R-rated TV show. You know, it's definitely a TVMA, but violence in TV shows, violence in movies, there's a point, a threshold where I just don't care to watch it anymore, and I've chosen not to watch things based on that. If it's nudity, if it's, like I say, pornographic or always sexual all the time, then I'll tune it out a lot sooner than I will for the violence. And people call me, you know, you can call me a prude on that if you want to, whatever. It's just my personal level of comfort, my personal level of what I think is something I want to spend my time watching. If you don't agree, that's great. You watch it. Anyway, so let's see. Oh, let me step down here off this soapbox. Daredevil season one. So yeah, I thought the Kingpin was amazing. Of course, I can't think of the actor's name, but he did a fantastic job of playing that dichotomy of being cool and calm and in control, but also, but under that exterior, you know, he's totally out of control, rage, ready to rage, ready to Hulk out. Not literally, but just mentally lose his cool. But he's cool. He's also cool and he's calculated and he has a plan, but he's so vulnerable. And I just love the way that was played. I did like Michael Clark Duncan in the Daredevil movie with Ben Affleck in it as Daredevil. I'm more forgiving of that movie than most people, but definitely in the movie, Michael Clark Duncan played the Kingpin is pretty one-dimensional. There wasn't a lot to him other than that he was a crime fighter, or opposite, that he was a crime boss and a bad guy and somebody you didn't want to mess with. But in the TV series, it's so much more three-dimensional character with lots of layers and just wonderfully done. And I think you could say that for most of the characters. Definitely for Matt Murdock, Karen Page. She was great. I don't know the actress's name either that played her, but she did a great job. You know, she's strong and tough, but again, she's also vulnerable. And this, I'd say that's the, you could say that for all of these characters and their interactions and their just personalities. You know, they all had their own thing going on. Of course, you know, the biggest were Matt Murdock and the Kingpin. But there was, with Foggy Nelson, you know, he had his own thing going on, but, you know. Some of the other things that were going on with, you kind of have a precursor to the Hand with the Japanese character. And then, you can see that they were laying the groundwork for a lot of things in here. And I liked the evolution of Daredevil as a superhero. You know, at the beginning, he's just kind of another... He's a thug. No, he's not a thug. He's just a guy out there, you know, wearing a bandit, wearing black clothes and a black thing over his eyes. But you see him, you know, kind of grow and develop as a vigilante and also as a hero and kind of finding out what it is that makes him tick. But that changes, you know, he kind of develops. I mean, he's still out there fighting crime all the time, but he's kind of finding his place in this where he's put himself. You know, yeah, he's a crime fighter, he's a vigilante, but how far does he go? What does he do? That kind of thing. And he establishes that really well. And by the end, you know, he sees the need for body armor. You know, Kingpin kind of wears this body armor that he didn't figure that out until he fought him. And he's like, you know, that's a really good idea. You know, similar to Batman Begins, you know, this is kind of a Daredevil Begins season of the show. And, some similarities there. You know, Batman, Bruce Wayne learned a lot during Batman Begins of, hey, he's out here fighting crime, but, maybe body armor would be good. Maybe the suit should he should be able to move more, that kind of thing. And you see that here in Daredevil as well. Of course, there's a lot of other things going on as well. Let's see. What else can I say about the episode? Oh, I liked the character of the guy that builds his body armor. I wasn't a big Daredevil reader of the comic. I know the basics. I know, Foggy. I know there's a history there with Karen Page. You know, Kingpin. Matt Murdock's a lawyer. He's blind. You know, all these things. So I know the basic premise, and I know that there's... I always get this guy's name wrong. Anyway, the newspaper guy, the journalist, Urich. Isn't it Urich is his last name? But I always want to call him Robert Urich, which is an actor. Spencer for Hire, Vegas. Don't you love my ramblings? Let's see, how did I get there? But I liked the character of the guy that builds the body armor. He's probably from, obviously he's from the comics as well. But he's kind of like a low-tech city urban version of Lucius Fox. I'm sorry I'm making all these allusions to Batman Begins. But anyway, I liked him. I liked Ben Urich. Is that his name? The journalist. As I should have said at the beginning of this episode, I probably did. There's going to be lots of spoilers for Daredevil and all these shows that I talk about. One of the biggest spoilers or the biggest shock moments for me in watching this show was that Ben Urich, toward the end of the season, the Kingpin took it upon himself to kill him. And I thought that was a pretty brave move because he's a pretty prominent side character in the comics. And, you know, unfortunately, they made the choice to make him a black character, which was great. The actor did a great job of that as well. But then they killed him. So it just looks like another iteration of killing off the black guy kind of thing. So I kind of felt bad for that, but I thought the actor did a good job. Anyway, there was so many cool things that came out of this. So all in all, I really enjoyed the first season of Daredevil. I thought what they did was different than anything else we'd seen. The fight scenes were amazing. You know, everybody talked about the one-shot hallway scene, which was pretty cool. But just, you know, it was definitely grittier and more down to earth and, you know, as realistic as a superhero movie, or sorry, TV show can be. And the characters were great. The acting was great. The, you know, everything put together. They threw a ninja in there. You know, Matt got hurt. There were consequences for his actions, not only physically on his body, but also in his relationships with other people, especially those he's closest to. You know, it was just a very well done show all the way around. Pretty cool, pretty neat to see. The suit that he wears at the end, I kind of like the first suit better, to be honest with you. But you know, you have to do the suit. You have to have the devil's cowl thing and the body armor thing. And I think they did improve it in the second season. I'm just going to go ahead and start talking about the second season as well. And then can do Jessica Jones on its own. So I don't know, how long was it? Was it even a year that went by before there was another season of Daredevil? They probably tried to work it out that way. Jessica Jones was in between the two Daredevil seasons. They really don't intersect that much, except there is this character. Oh, and I had her name when I was thinking about it this morning on my way to work, but now that I'm going back, I can't remember. But they call her the night nurse. I guess there's several night nurses. She is a nurse, and she's somebody that helps Matt Murdock out when he's been beat up. She, you know, fixes him, stitches him back together, you know, does what she can to make him well again. And they have a relationship in the first season, and but she gets kind of tired of dealing with everything that he's doing and doesn't want to be a part of that. But I believe she does come back, and when he's on death's door or whatever, comes back to help heal him up again after she left him from their relationship. So she, this night nurse, and darn it, I can't remember her name, not even the character's name, but she was also in Jessica Jones, and she mentioned something to Jessica Jones about somebody that she knows that might be able to help Jessica in her situation, but Jessica kind of brushes her off, says, no, this is my deal, I need to deal with it. And then the night nurse comes back, and she's in the second season of Daredevil as well. Not as much, but she's there for a few episodes and part of some of the plot that's going on. So, season two, the big thing for season two was the introduction of the Punisher and the introduction of Elektra into this TV Daredevil universe. You know, I'm not going to get into whether it's all linked with the cinematic universe. Basically, it is, but that doesn't mean that they're going to cross over that much. Anyway, this is the introduction of these iconic characters. Well, Punisher wasn't an iconic Daredevil character. He was more of a Spider-Man villain, but of course, Daredevil does fight the Punisher in the comics. And then, you know, Punisher became his own thing because he was so popular. But in the Marvel Universe, the Marvel Cinematic TV Universe, this is the introduction of the Punisher. And Elektra comes in. And it, you know, it sets it up where the Punisher's kind of going to be the big bad for this season. But it becomes much more than that. So basically, the Punisher is killing gang members and several people that were involved together in the I'm not going to, if you listen to this point, you don't care about spoilers, but you know, the origin story, they don't go into the origin story, but the reason he's killing people and he's getting vengeance for those that were involved in his, the killing of his wife and daughter. They were caught in the crossfire on a gang war. So several different gangs and crime organizations were involved in this. And so we're set out, you know, the Punisher's out killing people. Matt learns about this and is going out, you know, as Daredevil to try to find out, track him down and stop the Punisher or Frank Castle. And that kind of sets up everything. And in the meantime, him and Karen Page are getting pretty close. You know, she works for them, works for the, Nelson and Murdoch Law Office. And so it's the three of those that work at this law office together. And, you know, they're kind of becoming a thing and go on a date and kiss and everything. And, you know, things are looking good for Daredevil. Of course, if you know anything about Daredevil, and I know enough to know that if it looks like things are going good, they're not going to end up good for Matt. He's kind of a tortured soul. And so, well, I'll get into more of that later. But anyway, my favorite, absolute favorite Daredevil moment yet in all of the, in these two seasons, all the episodes in these two seasons was, I think it was the fourth episode of this second season. And essentially, well, it turns out that, so he does track down the Punisher and then something happens and he ends up getting captured by the Punisher. The Punisher, uses chains to bind him to like a chimney on a rooftop. They have a conversation. And this isn't my favorite. This is a really good part. This is really good. This is kind of right out of the comics, from what I understand. So they have this conversation, and the Punisher's, you know, the Daredevil says you shouldn't be killing people. You need to bring people to justice. And of course, you know, in Frank Castle's mind, there is no justice. He doesn't say this, but, you know, his family was killed. These people don't deserve justice. They deserve to be killed. And so this is kind of the genesis, right, of the Punisher. So they have this differing, they have a differing philosophy on how to fight crime, how to stop bad people from being bad. You know, Matt Murdock has no problem punching somebody out and being violent in order to accomplish and stop these people, where Frank Castle says, just knock them off, just kill them. And so they have this really good conversation back and forth. And, you know, Frank Castle, I think his line was, you're one bad day from becoming me, which is great, right? I mean, that's really digs into Daredevil, to Matt's soul, you know. He's still trying to figure out this vigilante thing, even though he kind of came into his own and stopped the Kingpin in season one. He's still trying to figure this out, and what are his limits, and where does he fit into this kind of thing. So the Punisher's kind of putting him to a test, and he's going to prove to Matt Murdock that this guy that he's been protecting as a lawyer and as Daredevil is really a bad guy, and tells him all the things that he's done, and, you know, says, I'm going to kill him, you know, and Matt's like, no, don't kill him, and he ends up killing him anyway. And I don't remember how that gets resolved, how Matt gets loose. I think Punisher either just leaves or something distracts him. Anyway, Matt gets free, and then Matt gets a couple more leads. Because Karen is digging into Frank's past. You know, they're trying to catch this guy. Somebody else captured the Punisher, Frank Castle, and Daredevil finds out where it's going down, where he's being held. Anyway, so Frank Castle's fighting for his life there. He barely survives. Daredevil does show up to help him escape, helps him get away from the people that are holding him, and ends up capturing the Punisher in the process. He goes to a graveyard where he has Frank tied up, and he talks to him about, kind of carries on their conversation from before about why he doesn't think people should be killed and they should be brought to justice. And he kind of has come to terms with this and has a great, realization about his own role in things. And he's talking to the Punisher about this. And the Punisher's like, hey, okay, now what's going to become of me? And he says, you're going to be arrested. You're going to have your day in court. And he had called one of the cops that Matt kind of knows this guy, this cop. He's done him favors before. He was in season one. And he's called this cop said that the Punisher he'll be able to capture the Punisher. So the guy shows up. There's Daredevil and the Punisher. The Punisher's tied up. He pulls a gun on both of them, and Daredevil kind of has this conversation with the cop. He's like, while he's getting handcuffs put on him, he's like, you don't understand. I brought this man to justice for you. You need to take him in. You did this. You need to tell people that you captured him. You did this. And don't get me involved. If I'm involved, then this is going to inspire other people like the Punisher to do what I'm doing. I'm setting a bad example, kind of thing. You need to be the justice, not me. This doesn't mean he's going to stop fighting crime, but it just means he's not going to take credit for it. And so he's giving this cop credit for it. And the cop's kind of like, he finally decides, okay. So he lets Daredevil go and takes in the Punisher, and says that he learned about these things and captured the Punisher. And to me, and I wish I could do it justice, but that whole moment, that whole sequence of the conversation on the rooftop with the Punisher, and then finishing that off when Matt catches him and brings him to justice, brings him to the police. At that moment, after that episode was over, I'm like, man, I know the answer now. Charlie Cox is the best actor to ever play Batman. It just felt like a Batman moment. He had his kind of justice. He had his way of being a vigilante, and he was going to work with the cops and give them the credit. You know, this other guy was kind of like his Jim Gordon. So again, to carry on this Batman Begins thing, you know, I'll stand by that statement. Charlie Cox is the best person to play Batman yet. Even though he's playing Daredevil, that was a Batman moment. And it was great. I loved that scene. So on the non-superhero side of this series or season, we have the legal stuff that's going on. So we still have the three of them, you know, Karen, Foggy, and Matt at the law office. Well, they're getting involved with the district attorney, Reyes. I can't remember her first name, but she's a district attorney, probably bucking for getting mayor, and she was trying to get the Punisher at the same time, and they were trying to get information from her, and there was friction there. Foggy Nelson stood up to her, and this season, he really shines. You see a lot more of him stepping up and becoming more bold and strong, and shows his lawyer skills. Anyway, so he stands up to Reyes, and so they're kind of going against the district attorney, and, you know, she's got lots of power, and they're just this little tiny law office, but he has the guts to do it. Anyway, I can't remember how it all came to pass, but at some point, Karen had to talk to Frank Castle after he was incarcerated. She was trying to get some answers from him, and he wanted them, Frank Castle wanted their law office to defend him in court, which is pretty interesting. You know, you have Matt Murdock as Daredevil taking him down to justice, and now he's asking Matt Murdock, the lawyer, to defend him. Of course, the Punisher doesn't know who Daredevil is, but it was an interesting turn of events. And so here they are, they're trying to defend him, and Karen has been doing some investigation work, finding out stuff about Frank Castle, and she's been to his house and knows that he had a family and things like that. And so anyway, they take on his case. And who are they going against? Reyes, right? The district attorney against Frank Castle. And so that's pretty cool stuff. Pretty interesting drama in there. Legal stuff, not just superhero stuff going on. And like I said, things were going well, you know, between Karen and Matt. They were starting their romantic relationship. But then all of a sudden, Elektra shows up. And Elektra is somebody from Matt's past. And, you know, we learn in flashbacks about what that past was like. And, you know, in a way, she's kind of a bad influence on him. She tempts him, or, you know, at least intrigues his bad boy side, I guess you could say, where he does things, and you know, of course, she has no inhibitions about doing, you know, stealing or breaking in or, you know, doing any of these types of things. You know, she's beyond that. And so you see this in flashbacks over the course of several episodes. In the meantime, she's you know, runs a corporation, her father's corporation or whatever. She's going up against this Japanese company. And then she lets Matt know, because she knows who Matt is, that he's Daredevil. She has figured that out. And she's asking for his help with that as well. Because it's all tied to the Hand, which is a organization, you know, I don't know, is it a Japanese organization that, you know, they're involved in all this business and crime and all these things. But they also have, you know, a horde of assassins, right? This whole ninja force out there. She needs Matt's help against the Hand, and she's trying to figure this and that out. And she's also just trying to get him back. So it makes for an interesting twist. You know, I guess, like I said before, I wasn't a Daredevil comic book reader. I guess I wasn't around for the whole Elektra relationship and all this stuff. I know people are going to kill me for saying this, but I kind of liked Jennifer Garner as Elektra in the movie. But I realized, no, now her movie, while it was interesting to watch, was pretty bad, the Elektra movie. But her in Daredevil I thought was pretty cool. So I guess, you know, I'm not as tied into the whole Elektra thing, like I'm saying. So, you know, Matt, I don't know. I guess that wasn't as interesting to me as the rest of it. It was good. I enjoyed it. It was interesting to see another side of Matt Murdock. He wasn't just this do-gooder that was trying to decide how far to go in fighting crime. But now you see that he has a bad side, and he can be influenced by other people. You know, he tries to push Elektra away, but she draws him in, and, you know, it makes him a much more rich character, because he's not just the do-gooder, dun-da-da-da, I'm Daredevil, I'm here to save the day. You know, he's a very conflicted guy, and he has a lot of guilt for what he does, but he's also can be tempted, can be swayed, and Elektra seems to be a weakness for him. And so that was interesting in exploring that side of Matt Murdock. And, you know, I think the actress that played Elektra did a good job. I mean, I have no complaints about the plot. It did seem to divide the plot a little bit between, you know, you had the Frank Castle stuff going on and then you had the Elektra stuff going on. But what was interesting about that was essentially Matt ends up ruining everything with his relationship with Karen. He ends up kind of destroying his relationship with Foggy. Because he's basically not there. I think he's the one that convinced them to take on Frank Castle in defending him. And then he was pretty much gone. He was doing stuff with Elektra and wasn't there or was late or stuff like that when they were trying to do everything for Frank Castle. And so, once again, you know, like I said, Foggy stepped up and he took charge and he, you know, he did a great job in doing everything with that. And so, you know, it was an interesting thing. There were some shockers in there, too. The character Stick came back. He's also tied to Elektra. And Matt is learning this. He, you know, he saw Elektra and Stick as two different figures in his life, that they weren't related. But he's learning now that Elektra, spoilers, Elektra works for Stick. Stick recruited her when she was a young girl, and he's part, I can't remember if they said the name of the organization, but Stick is kind of the leader of this organization against the Hand, and he shows up, and he's a really cool character. I can't remember the name of the actor that plays Stick. He's been in other things, but he's just, you know, he's also blind, and he, just the way he comes across, and his relationship and demeanor toward Matt and Elektra is pretty interesting. And, you know, he's all about the mission. He doesn't care about people's lives. He doesn't care about relationships. He's all about destroying the Hand and you know, doing all these things. And so he wants Daredevil to fight in the war. And, of course, Elektra is part of that as well. And so I'm not going to go into everything about the episode, but it was interesting to see Elektra also kind of grow, because she was conflicted between her mission and her loyalty to Stick and her loyalty to Matt. You know, she's supposed to be this no-nonsense assassin, yet she does have feelings for Matt. So that was interesting. Like I said, I know there's a segment of the audience that is all in for the Elektra-Matt relationship because they were there in the comics. You know, that was a big part of his storyline in the comics. And so anybody that followed Daredevil in the comics, I'm sure they're eating up all this Elektra stuff. For me, it was interesting. And I love the season and the episodes, but, you know, it's just an interesting plot twist to me. But there were, like I said, so there were some surprises along the way. It was great to see Stick come back and do what he did, and it was interesting. There's a part where Frank Castle is in prison. I kind of goofed up. I went ahead an episode. I thought I was one more episode ahead than I was. You know, I don't know whether to ruin this, to spoil this or not. I'm not going to. If you haven't seen season 2 of Daredevil, there is a surprise in there. Somebody that's in the show that you didn't expect to be there this season, and it's really cool. Every scene this character was in was pretty cool, and you might already know who I'm talking about, but I'm just gonna leave it there. You know, it's interesting. Karen Page kind of comes into her own in this show as well. She starts to take on the Ben Urich character. She, you know, Ben was killed in the first season. I gave you that spoiler, but it's been longer. So, but anyway, she starts to do a lot of investigative journalism, or at least investigating, and she works with Ben's old boss and is trying to track down all the, you know, all this stuff on Frank Castle and what happened and who was involved. There's a lot, it's kind of a conspiracy theory type thing of who was all involved when Frank Castle's family was killed. Like I said before, Frank Castle's family was not targeted. they were not the reason that the shooting occurred, but they were caught in the crossfire, and there was a cover-up concerning, you know, everything that went down that day when Frank Castle's family was killed. And so that's what's driving Frank Castle towards revenge and all of his shenanigans. And, you know, he's a war veteran and dedicated to the cause and all this stuff. Or several times throughout the season, Karen has this interaction with Frank Castle, and she's probably the closest person to him throughout the show. That's was all interesting stuff, and she kind of blows things open as far as the conspiracy. Once Frank Castle's out on the loose again, people are being killed. Everybody's blaming the Punisher, that the Punisher's back on the streets killing people, but it's actually not him. And, you know, Karen learns this, and there's just some cool stuff. I will give a spoiler toward the end of the episode, or toward the end of the season, where basically Elektra and Daredevil are on the top of a roof fighting the Hand, going against everybody that they've been fighting, and it's a kind of a no-win situation. And they're fighting anyway. They're, you know, going down in a blaze of glory. Going down in a blaze of glory. Sorry for that punishment to your ears. Anyway, so they're doing that, and there's a scene where, you know, Daredevil's down, and he's about to, one of the big bad guys or whatever, is coming to finish him, and all of a sudden he gets shot, and there's, you know, everybody starts getting shot, and it's Frank Castle on the top of another building, sniper with a sniper rifle, and he's, you know, picking off these people that are coming after Daredevil, and that gives Daredevil a chance to recover and you know, start kicking butt again and everything. And he's, you know, he looks over and he sees Frank Castle over there. And of course, they can't hear each other, but Frank's like, you know, go get him, Red, or something like that. And I thought that was pretty cool that all that was going down. So overall, both seasons of Daredevil were very, very well done. A lot of really cool moments. A lot of good character development for all of the characters in the show. You know, there's a few things you could complain about, but you know, one of the things I would have liked to seen was more Matt Murdock as a lawyer, because you really don't see that. I mean, it's an awesome opportunity for Foggy Nelson to step up and do that, and that's pretty cool. But that's an aspect of the character and the scenario that I would like to see more of. I would like to see Matt Murdock as a lawyer doing things, do that more than I've seen. You know, it's pretty much all been about him as Daredevil, and I understand that's the title of the show, and that's what people are coming to see. But I would like to see more legal stuff, more of him arguing in court and tracking down the case with just normal skills rather than just as Daredevil beating people up kind of thing. That's a small complaint. Of course, the character, I should say that I really liked the actor, and I don't know his name, that played Punisher. You know, I was never a big Punisher collector. I read some of his comics, and I got it. I thought it was interesting. You know, there was a limited series where he breaks out of prison and stuff, and I read all that, so I have a good knowledge of who Frank Castle is and the way he was in the comics. But I was never like a super fan. You know, I just kind of followed him a little bit. A friend of mine had all of his comics, and I read his. And so I liked the Punisher as a character, but he's not somebody that I was, you know, avid for, or, you know, made sure I read everything Punisher. But anyway, so I like the Punisher as a character. He's going to have his own series now. He was, you know, everybody loved the Punisher. The actor did a tremendous job. He's a really good actor. I guess he was on, was it Walking Dead or The Wire or something like that? One of those shows I haven't watched. And now as the Punisher. So there is going to be a Punisher series as another Netflix show. I may or may not watch it. Like I say, I'm not a big, huge Punisher fan, but I thought he did a great job in this Daredevil season. I look forward to seeing more of Kingpin as things develop with either the Defenders or another season of Daredevil, that kind of thing. But anyway, it's all good. It's a good show. The violence hasn't been too excessive except for that one episode in season one. I mean, there's violence and there's blood and people getting hurt and lots of stuff like that, but it's not as bad as that one episode, so it hasn't gone far enough to drive me away yet. So that's good. Anyway, that's more than enough for now, probably, and I'll come back and talk about some Jessica Jones. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Turn Along the Path is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. Do not change it or sell it, but please share it as much as you would like.